Welcome to The Tome, Episode 2. My name is Jeff. This is a D&D review podcast focused on reviewing official Dungeons & Dragons content. If you would like to contact the show, please email thetomeshow@gmail.com. That's thetomeshow, all one word, @gmail.com. And please do contact me with your thoughts on past reviews or your thoughts on future reviews to be shared in upcoming shows. I would love for you guys to be guest reviewers for the show. I think a lot could be added to the show if we got more opinions from other people who are also reading this content and sharing it for the betterment of everybody out there who's interested in what's going on with official D&D content these days. If you have any suggestions just for me that you would like to give me to help make the show better, you can send those comments to the exact same email address. That email again is thetomeshow@gmail.com. Upcoming shows will include a look at Hordes of the Abyss, Complete Mage, Dragon Issue 350, and The Adventure Expedition to Castle Ravenloft. Now, on to the review. This episode, I will look at Dragon Magazine Issue 349 for November 2006. Some articles are going to get a brief summary to give you an idea of what's in the magazine as a whole, and some articles are going to get a little bit more in-depth to help get you a better picture of what's going on with a little bit more detail. I just didn't want to do that with every article to save a little bit of time. Okay, first article. I looked at the First Watch section by Shelley Bauer, William Christensen, Mike L. Feigl, and Josh Frost. And by the way, if I mispronounce any names, sorry. First of all, the new releases. They highlight three new releases. It starts out with Dragonmarked for Eberron, which is a book about the Dragonmarked houses. If you're an Eberron player, then you know what I'm talking about. You know what Dragonmarked means. Then they talk about Cityscape, a guidebook to urban adventuring. This is part of the Environment series, kind of like Frostburn and Sandstorm were. It just focuses on cities and urban settings as a type of environment, which I think is an interesting kind of an idea. Thirdly, they talk about Scourge of the Howling Horde, which is an adventure set to sort of walk a DM through the process of DMing. So if you're new to DMing, you haven't DM'd before, you're interested in sort of getting into it, they wanted to make an adventure that would make it very easy for you to sort of get started and get into the idea of DMing this sort of adventure. And at the same time, they promise you that this is an adventure that's also going to be fun and enjoyable for experienced DMs. Then the notes and news. They start off talking about the Gazetteer of Known Realms from Goodman Games. They talk about the D&D cartoon, the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon, which is out on DVD. And they talk a little bit about the Blood War miniatures. And much, much more. There's several other smaller tidbits after that. The first article is called Final Fantasy XII by Joshua J. Frost, art provided by Square Enix. This article gives a quick two-page preview of the newest addition to the Final Fantasy series. This new addition to Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy XII, is actually a sequel to a game called Final Fantasy Tactics, which didn't fit into the normal numbering of the Final Fantasy series, and it is actually one of the few Final Fantasy games that I have personally not played. So I'll be interested in getting to know this new world when I pick up Final Fantasy XII. The next article is called Hitting the Bullseye, a comprehensive guide to bows and crossbows by Eric Cagle, illustrated by Eva Weiderman. This gives lots and lots of options on ranged weapons and different kinds of ammunition for ranged weapons. The art in this was very, very good. I really liked the art that Eva did for us. It's equal to anything that I've seen in any of the professionally published books. If she's not doing any artwork for Wizards of the Coast, I think that she very well could be. The next article I'll go a little more in depth with. It is from the series called The Demonomicon of Igwiliv. This one is Dagon, Prince of Darkened Depths by James Jacobs, illustrated by Andrew Howe. This article details the Lord of the 89th Layer of the Abyss. His name is Dagon. Dagon is a very Lovecraftian sort of creature, which they actually openly admit in the article. They admit that they were inspired by the tales of Lovecraft and the interpretation of Dagon in H.P. Lovecraft's tales when they created the D&D version of Dagon. To illustrate this, Dagon is an alien sort of intellect that dwells deep, deep in the depths of an oceanic sort of layer of the abyss. He inspires his minions through dreams. He's older than the gods themselves and has been around since the beginnings of the existence of the abyss, and is older than any other demons or devils or what have you, an ancient beyond ancient sort of creature. They give stats for Dagon, which are much more impressive than the stats that were given for Dagon in Hordes of the Abyss. I really like it when they make demon lords or arc fiends or whatever they happen to be. I really like it when they make them really, really powerful. And so I enjoyed that they gave me a CR30 version of Dagon. It gives you a new prestige class called Thrall of Dagon. If you are going to be a follower of Dagon, then this is the way to go. It gives you two minions as an example that Dagon might use, one of which is a completely new creature called an Azolru, and it gives you a few details about Dagon's realm, about the 89th layer of the abyss where he lives. All in all, this is a very nice addition to a series that I'm really, really loving, this whole Demonomicon of Igwiliv. Next up is The Horde, Barbarians of the Endless Waste, by Edward Bonney, Brian Cortijo, Laszlo Kahler, illustrated by Ramon Perez and Eric Deschamps, cartography by Rob Lazaretti. Now, you can already tell from this fairly extensive list of people who worked on this project that this is a pretty large article, which is not entirely a bad thing. As such, I'm going to spend quite a little bit of time talking about this article, more so than probably most of the other articles that I'll look at. First of all, let me say this was a massive, beautiful, 14-page article that I thought was absolutely wonderful. Here's why. Wizards of the Coast should seriously be looking at the guys who worked on this project. In 14 pages, they told me more about the Horde lands, they told me more about the Endless Waste, than the entire Moonsea book told me about the Moonsea area. Plus, they offer a web enhancement on the website for even more content beyond the 14 wonderful pages that they give you. Anyway, the Endless Wastes is a largely Mongolian-inspired realm with horse masters and vast stretches of grasslands and steppes, all those sorts of things going on. So, a decade ago, the various tribes of the Horde lands were united under one charismatic leader. They started out as a lot of splintered little tribes warring amongst each other, killing each other, raiding various settlements and traders and merchants coming along the Golden Way, the major trade route there between Karatur and Faerûn. These tribes were there, splintered, doing their own thing, until this guy who gave himself the title of Kahan came along and united all the tribes under one leader. And he used this united horde. They invaded a lot of Faerûn all the way up to Cormyr, where the Kahan met up with Azun, the then king of Cormyr, and Azun killed the Kahan. And without that strong leadership, they imply that the different tribes broke up and started fighting each other again. And that was the end of the horde. That was the end of the invasion of Faerûn. Now, however, the Kahan's son has sort of tried to make a kingdom where his father created a horde. The Kahan's son is trying to make a stable sort of kingdom, not just a roving horde of invaders, but a stable kingdom. They're building a permanent settlement on the Golden Way so they can use that to make a profit for merchants going between the two major continents or regions in Toril. And they're doing this very, very, in a very, very intelligent way. And he hasn't united all of the tribes yet, but he's starting to unite all the tribes in a way that would imply that this is going to become, or could become, a pretty serious threat to the status quo in Toril and Faerûn and Karatur in a way that nobody expects it to be. They sort of imply that everybody expects that the horde that had invaded Faerûn is no longer a big threat and no longer something to seriously worry anybody, because without the Kahan, they've all broken up and gone their own separate ways. So this is sort of implying that maybe these people should be taking a closer look at what is going on. There might be a problem here. Also, the people of the Horde, the Tuigan people of the Horde, are not the only people there. There's also another group of people called the Rhomveren, which are a group of people that have had permanent settlements for a long time in an area called the Lake of Mists, who are directly related to the ancient Rhomathari. the battle mages of ancient Faerun, who get a bad name for all the questionable things they've done. And so that looked like a very interesting sort of way to bring sort of this ancient culture back, because it's been a continuing culture that's sort of still kept alive to a lesser degree amongst these people who live around the Lake of Mist. There's also a dwarven settlement. There's also a hidden, secret, gnomish settlement. There's lots of interesting things going on in this article in the Endless Waste. All in all, they detail several major towns, locations, geographic features, several different groups of people that live in the region. They have an abbreviated timeline of what's been going on in the area. They even give you a new monster, the Dizulmus, a three-headed air dragon. When it's all said and done, this article alone is well worth the cover price of the entire magazine. If you paid the cover price for this magazine and only got this article about the Horde, about the Endless Wastes, you would have spent your money well. That means that every other article in here is a bonus. Now on to the rest of the articles. Next up is The Ecology of the Ogre Mage by Tim Hitchcock, illustrated by Peter Bergting. First of all, let me say that I already came into this article expecting to be happy because I am a big fan of the Ogre Mage. All right, so they give a good history, some interesting insight into the psychology of the Ogre Mage. The physiology section could have been a little bit better, but it was okay. They gave decent little bits of information about Ogre Mage's physiology and sort of why they're built the way they're built and that kind of stuff, which ties directly into the history. I guess I wouldn't have minded seeing an extra paragraph or two in there explaining sort of how their physiology allows for some of their abilities and that kind of neat stuff going on. Anyway, some of the background information they give, they explain that Ogre Mages are descended from the fiendish sons of the god Vaprak, the Destroyer. Vaprak, the Destroyer, is a god of ogres, trolls, that kind of thing. Ancient god before a lot of the current pantheons were around. He sent three sons to the material plane. They were born as mortals, grew up very fast, became leaders of their of different tribes of ogres or trolls or whatever, raised armies. The idea was that they would conquer the area, they would destroy, and they would raise the influence and the power of Vaprak as a result. Unfortunately, they failed. But the taint of their time from being there is what created the Ogre Mages. So you have this sort of fiendish sons of ancient gods merging with the material plane creatures like trolls and ogres, combining to create the Ogre Mage. To help this along, they actually include two alternate sets of spell-like abilities that you can exchange for Ogre Mages. You know, take out the old spell-like abilities for the Ogre Mages, put in this set of spell-like abilities, and you have a different sort of Ogre Mage. The idea being that there were three sons of Vaprak. The Ogre Mage that we know only represents the offspring of one of those sons. So they give you these two other sets of spell-like abilities to represent this unique characteristics of the two other sons of Vaprak who are on the material plane who did the same thing that this other guy did. So that's the Ogre Mage article. I really enjoyed that. Next up, Savage Tidings, Beyond Sasserine by F. Wesley Schneider and James Sutter, illustrated by Ben Wooten. So if you're playing the Savage Tide adventure arc from Dungeon, which I am, thanks Brian, the DM for that game, then this article is sort of a neat way to get more information about what's going on in the area, introduce yourself sort of to the region, and generally become a little more comfortable with the culture and the world in which you're going to be adventuring it. It provides some good geography, some neat locations that surround the city of Sasserine. It actually left me with a lot of questions about some of the things, some of the history, and some of the groups that they talked about or that they implied in the group. I haven't read the Savage Tide articles in Dungeon very much on purpose because I know I'm playing that adventure and I don't want to ruin that for myself. And so it leaves a lot of questions for me about what's going on, and it's actually made me a little more anxious, a little more looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with this adventure that we actually just started playing called Savage Tide. The Sage Advice section by Andy Collins, illustrated by Andrew Howe, in this issue. The sage answers questions about magic items. So if you had a question about magic items, there's articles in there about that. So it opens up with a lot of questions about how magic items interact with anti-magic fields and that sort of thing. The class act section, I'm going to go through each of these one at a time, give you an idea of what to expect in the class acts for this article. Adventurer by Amber E. Scott, illustrated by Christoph Swall. The adventurer section in this issue's class acts is a guide to poison making with some feats and some uses for skills and kits that you can buy to make it easier, sort of like a healer's kit only for poison, that sort of thing. Arcane by Tim Hitchcock, illustrated again by Christoph Swall. The arcane section here I thought was really kind of interesting. It provides feats to help combine psionics and arcane magic. Feats to help you better build a character that can use psionics and arcane spellcasting in a neat sort of way that combines the abilities or lets you trade out one ability for the other kind of ability and do all kinds of neat stuff with that. So if you're interested in doing that, multiclassing your character as an arcane caster and a psionic character, this is an interesting article to look at. Divine by William L. Christensen, illustrated by, again, Christoph Swall. The divine section this time around is geared towards nature-based divine casters because it's all about battle gear for animal companions. So this is really focused on your druids, to some degree your rangers, those sorts of characters that are running around with all their little animals. And so now you can throw a helmet on them with little ram horns so they can make bull rush attacks, and you can throw spiked armor on them and make them look all scary, and you can add all this battle armor to your animal companions. Warrior by Jonathan Drain, illustrated again by Christoph Swall. If you haven't noticed, Christoph Swall illustrated all of the class act section. The warrior section this issue gives variant class features for barbarians and paladins. It's all about chaos and law. And so they focus on barbarians as the chaos end, and they give you different class features that you can switch out, get rid of the standard class features and put these class features in to make your barbarian a little more unique. They do the same thing with paladins, focusing on their role as protectors and smiters of evil. If you're interested in tweaking and changing up your paladins and barbarians, this is a way to do it. Look at this article. And then lastly, of course, they finish off this issue with the comics. And comics, as usual, were good. I like comics. Best comic of the month. They're all great. Best comic of the month, Order of the Stick. It's great. If you haven't read the issue, I just sounded like a big dork. If you have read the issue, you get the joke. All in all, I'm probably a big dork anyway. Well, that is The Tome, Episode 2. Thank you for joining me on this episode. Again, if you would like to contact the show, please email thetomeshow@gmail.com. That's all one word, thetomeshow. And please contact me with your thoughts on this review, on the last episode's review of Mysteries of the Moon Sea, on any future reviews that I'm doing, including Hordes of the Abyss, Complete Mage, Dragon Magazine issue 350, and the Adventure Expedition to Ravenloft. I would love to hear your thoughts on them. I would love to include your thoughts and your reviews into the upcoming shows so that people can get a more broad review. So please, feel free to contribute. I would love to hear from you guys. Send audio comments, send emails, post comments on the website. I would love to include that stuff on there, so please send it along. If you would like to find the email address, it is http://thetome.podbean.com. And that is the site where the podcast is hosted. So thank you to podbean.com for your hosting services. Also, thank you to my gaming shop. I'm a big fan of Mayhem Comics in Ames, Iowa. I don't actually live in Ames anymore, but I went to college there. And they continue to send me all of my gaming materials along with my comics on a monthly basis. And they're great. They've got a great website and they do online services for people. So check them out, www.mayhemcomics.com. And if anybody would like to send me any other comments other than your reviews, please send those along. Let me know how I can make the show better. Let me know if the format needs to be changed. Let me know if the audio has some problems that I need to tweak. Let me know if there's something that I'm not doing well that I could do better. Send those comments along also. And remember, that email again is thetomeshow@gmail.com. Thanks again for joining me, and I'll see you next time with Hordes of the Abyss.